Good morning to all of you. Yes, I did get the title of the fiercest mom, so if any one of you misbehave afterwards, you know what, Okay, my husband is right. If you look at the title, it's kind of a strange title to actually preach on this weekend, a weekend where it's Mother's Day. It's a weekend that just happened after Wednesday and Thursday. So it's kind of strange, and I struggled too. I asked God, why? Why this title? Why this topic? And interestingly, through one of my quiet time, God confirmed it again through Psalms 34, that this is what He wanted me to speak this weekend. So I don't know why, but I believe that this is a message that He wants you to hear. One of the things that dawned on me, though, when I was actually preaching yesterday, right up here, because I was saying the same thing, I said, why this message? And God actually told me, yes, today is Mother's Day, but hey, do you remember the songs that were sung just now by the kids? All the things that they talked about their mothers, the things that mattered the most to the kids, the things that was, it's not a Mother's Day thing, but it's not the money that was mentioned, but the time, the things that the mothers did behind the scene, the rest of the 365 days. It was not easy doing that. And the things that what Joseph said, what Matthias said, what Briani went through as well, all the things, what they've said about their mothers, all right? Different types of mothers. I mean, if you look at Joseph's mother, Priscilla, you know, it's not easy, yeah? Having four kids, you know, obeying God's commandment to multiply, having four kids, and she's working, she's actually working, and she's serving in ministry, and her kids are not young, are not old, and having to do all that requires a superwoman. Matthias' mom, you heard what Matthias said. The father left them when they were very young, all right? And she, Jaya, had to actually anchor the family, wearing both heads of a father and a mother, and having to bring up three boys, twins some more, not easy, you know, and having to do that. And Brianna's mom, a foreigner, not easy, coming to Malaysia, developed country, to a developing country with all the things that we have here in Malaysia, right? Having to actually partner with her husband as a pastor's wife, and seriously, it's not easy being a pastor's wife, okay? And in the ministry that they are in, all right, living amongst the people that they serve, the clients they serve, exposing their children every day to that kind of environment, not easy. But I know they're not alone, because many of you here today also goes through those kind of challenges, those kind of journeys that different ones of these mothers have actually gone through. And hey, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday, brand new dawn, we said, all right? But then God also reminded me, yes, we now have a new government. We all say it's a new birth of our nation. Everything is a brand new day. But tell me, do kids still cry at night? Do they still fall sick? Yeah? Do they still irritate you and sometimes you wish you don't have them? Right? Okay? Do they bring home boys or girls that you are wondering why they're hanging around with such people? Do they still do their homework? Can the new government solve these problems? Can or not? All right? And I think that's why this message is still relevant. Because every heart, and I'm not just talking about mothers, all right? I know it's Mother's Day, but God told me it's not just mothers, all right? There are people here who are not mothers who also cry. And I'm not just talking about the women. Then the men say, where God, huh? Only men don't cry. But we'll figure it out. We'll see whether men cry afterwards, okay? But let's just go to the Word of God, all right? So in the typical Pastor Chris comes way, Since I'm his wife, I better do the same thing that he does. Can you all please stand up? Okay. Hold your Bible, whatever versions you have, hard copy, soft copy, the copy that you use. All right? Already, way up, I don't see many Bibles. I hope you read Bibles, right? Raise up your Bible, please. Wave it to me. Thank you. Great, great. All right. Okay, together. This is the Word of God. Oh, this is my Bible. Yeah, sorry. Fail. Okay, repeat. We'll try again. Okay, 1, 2, 3. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Yes, Lord, help me. Okay, and now, because we have different versions, right, we will read the one in the slide. Okay, so together, let's start. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. Okay, you may be seated. I've mentioned that I wanted this to be a message not just for mothers, because it's not just mothers who cry, but even all of us, I believe, cries. And I want to use the passage, though, of Hannah, because she's one special woman. Because when I was doing my own 365, and I came to Samuel, she was the one that I felt spoke out a lot, that I believe today with this topic is something that we can learn. So the background behind Hannah is that she is married to one man. His name is called Elkanah, and he is actually from the tribe, one of the descendants of Joseph, all right, under the tribe of Ephraim, okay? Although she has one husband, unfortunately, Elkanah did not have one wife, okay? Besides Hannah, Elkanah had another wife, and her name is Peninnah. And like most families that tries to have more than one wife, you will find that they are not best of friends, okay? And besides that, all right, to make matters worse, besides having to share her husband, Peninnah was a person who was able to give birth. She had a number of children. Whereas Hannah was barren. And to make matters worse, all right, this competitor of hers was constantly provoking her. Do you know what provoking means? Do you understand? Let me try and elaborate. For those of you, especially those of you who have actually seen Cantonese movies or Korean movies and all that, just imagine this scene in the house of Elkanah. Elkanah, head of the family. What do men normally do in a family lounge? Right? They're reading the newspaper, okay? Hannah is over this side on the two-sitter doing her cross-stitch. okay? Penina is on the three-seater sofa, lying down there, watching her TV shows, okay? Just imagine that scene, huh? Okay? And then the kids, her kids, comes running back home, all coming back from school, okay? And then you see, children, come and kiss mommy, come kiss mommy, okay? Oh, give me a little bit of shoulder, oh, thank you for rubbing it, oh, thank you, you know, mwah, 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 kiss all her kids. And then after that, the kids, okay, run along, kids, run along, you know. Oh, Hannah, you know, it's so wonderful to have children who will come home every day to just hug you, kiss you, do a little bit of massage. You know, you should try some. Oh, sorry, I forgot you cannot have kids. Sorry. Can you imagine that? And in verse 7, it actually says that Penina provoked Hannah year on year. Doesn't mention how many kids Penina has, but can you imagine, year on year, you have to actually tolerate this. Because it's not that you don't want. Hannah wanted a child, but she couldn't have one. And have to be able to share her husband and hear this and see all these kids, and most likely even have to help look after these kids and cook for these kids. It's a pain in a mother's heart. And for Hannah, that's what she was crying for. But what about us? I said, do only women cry? Do men cry? A lot of men will say, no, I don't cry. Let me try and ask the children. How about the children? Where are the children? Children, wave at me, children. Okay, tell me, and tell me the truth. Do your moms cry? Yes, right. Do your fathers cry? Oh, yes, your fathers cry. All right. Who cry louder, mom or father? Okay, don't answer. Okay. But, I agree with the children. Both men and women do cry. And that's why I felt that the title is apt for the message today. But why rain? What does rain represent? Okay. I think rain can represent many things for many different seasons of our life, but at the season of crying, I believe that rain actually can represent... Oh, sorry. It actually represents pains and burdens that we go through. For the women, I believe the rain represents the tears that flows from their hearts. For the men, because men, I believe, do cry, the rain, in many incidences, represents or acts as a camouflage, because men cannot show that they cry. So they kind of rain. Right? If you see those old Taiwanese shows, you know, where those of you who are old enough knows this guy called Jin Xiang Lin. Yeah? Every time a girl breaks his heart or he breaks a girl's heart, but he's really regretting it, he's always in the rain crying. Yeah? Okay? And, you know, it's a camouflage for them. But if you actually attend Men Alive, the chairman of Men Alive will tell you, real men cry. So men, it's actually okay to cry. Because crying is a natural response for something that we go through or something that burdens our heart. And there is no shame in crying. But more importantly, it's not about the rain that I want to talk about. All right? I mean, sorry, it's not about the crying that I want to talk about. Because crying is just an outcome. I want to go deeper, all right? So it's not about whether women cry, women are too emotional, do men cry, men are supposed to be strong. It's not about all that. I think crying is fine. I think what is more important is really the rain, okay? because the crux of the matter is, it will rain. It rains. It rained yesterday. It rained this morning. And it will continue to rain. All right? Even after Wednesday, some of you might feel that not going to rain for a while, but it can rain. It can rain. All right? And the things that we shared, the song, and we talked about the mothers and all that, the things that we go through 365 days, there will be times that it will rain. Question here is, what is the rain in our lives? Different one of us have different rains. I think for some of us, it's the burden for justice, it's the burden for the poor and the deprived, the outcast, the oppression of women, human trafficking. For some of us, we cry for such things because this is the burden of the heart that God has given us. But many of us cry for different things. We have different rains. The loss, a common one, is the loss of a loved one. I talk about men crying. I have actually personally seen a man cry. All right. This was someone just recently who lost his wife on the eve of Chinese New Year. And he came to see me just a few weeks ago, and I was asking him, I said, hey, how are you coping? And you know, his wife was his partner in the business that they were in. And I saw before me a man who was totally lost. Because he lost his lover, he lost his friend, he's lost the mother of his children, he lost his partner in business, the person who stands by him almost 24 hours a day. And suddenly, without her, he was completely lost. And he was there just crying and crying and crying. And I let him cry, because crying is good. So for some of us, that's the rain in our life. For some of us, it's the feeling of helplessness about the future because we can't control it because of circumstances in our lives. Some of us just lose the purpose of living. It could be the betrayal of a loved one. It could be a best friend, or it could be someone even closer. It could be even failure. For me, one of my earliest rain was actually failure. When I was in primary school and in secondary school, I have never failed in my life. Now, I'm not the top three, okay? I'm not that clever. But I had mastered the art. I'm a person who believes in enjoying my life every day, all right? Even though I've got assignments and exams. So I make sure I make use of my full day. So I've mastered the art of really studying last minute and learning how to burn the midnight oil, okay? And it has always helped me in my primary and secondary school. So I normally get not bad, okay? Not top three, but not bad, okay? And I thought I could use the same method when I was in university. Don't try it. Because, and I didn't know. I tried the same method, and I went home confident that because I've always done this in the past, I went back for holidays, and I thought I would pass. But when I received the mail with my results, and I opened it, and I was at home for holiday at that time, I did not expect to see that I had failed. And that really blew me, because I'm now a failure. How do I face my parents? They were the ones who financed my education. Will they even give me a chance to repeat? And if I repeat, how would that feel? All right? Mixing with a batch of younger people. How do I explain why am I repeating? That was my rain. And similar to Hannah, I have learned that through that rain, that God can be trusted to do more than you can ever imagine. Okay, and I'll tell you more about how that goes later on. But that's the big idea for today, that even though we are crying in the rain, God can be trusted to do far more than what you imagine. So let's hear from Hannah again and see what she went through, okay, and what can we learn from her. I think the first lesson here is that God's waiting. Whenever there is rain in our lives, God's waiting for us, waiting to hear from us. And for Hannah, she knew it. And so what she did was that she actually went to God. She didn't make him wait. She went to God and she said this prayer. She cried out to God and said that if you will only look at my misery, your servant's misery, and remember me, don't forget me. Because in the culture that she was in, she's incomplete. She's a failure. She cannot bear a child. And she was saying, give me a son. And God, I will give him back to you. I will give him back to you so that you can use him for the rest of your life. Hannah turned to God in her rain. Who do we turn to in our rain? Who do we really turn to when we have our rain? Let's be truthful. Who do you think we turn to? Right? Whenever we face a problem, the first thing we do is we try to solve it ourselves. We will go and figure out what are we going to be able to do to get out of it. And when we can't, when we find that we can't, we don't have the solution, we start running to all the people around us who can help us out. We will pour out our problems to them and we are pleading for them for help. But when they can't help us, some of us will run to the pastors or your cell group leaders and cry for help. And then finally, when all these people you have tried to help, cry for help, including yourself, can't help you, then only we go to God and say, God, help me, help me, help me. So the thing here is, why do we go to Him as a last resort? Why do we keep God waiting? When there is a rain, He knows there's a rain. And then it's very funny, you know, can you just imagine God is watching? He knows it's pouring rain, you know. And then He sees you running around everywhere, you know, going around to everybody, making calls to everybody, running around. But it's like, hey, I love you. Hello, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to cry out to me first, not last. I can help. But why? Why do we run around and look elsewhere rather than up? And not only that, when we finally look up and we say, God, help me, help me. Do you know what a lot of us do? Oh, God, I've got this issue. Can you help me? Nah. And God, this thing too. Oh, this thing. Nah. And this one too, this one too. Nah. God, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you find that? We will finally turn to Him and we pray. And then we take it all back. We take it all back. We don't leave it there. But not Hannah. After Hannah made that prayer, do you know what she did? Hannah trusted God. And her actions showed that she had found peace in her soul. Because after she made that prayer, she actually ate something. Now, prior to that, in all the time that Peninnah was actually provoking her, she never had appetite to eat. If you read between 7 to 10, verse 7 to 10, it actually shows you that she actually could not eat. She lost her appetite. But here it says, she ate something and her face was no longer downcast. Next morning, she worshipped before God and then she went home. because she knew that when she prayed that prayer, she was going to leave it to God to do whatever God knew best. Left it there. And she went on because she trusted God. So the question here for us is, when the rain comes and the rain comes, don't cry to God last, because He's waiting. And when you cry to God, God is saying, don't just dump it there and take it back. God is just saying, dump it there. I will handle it. Have peace. Trust me. I think that's what I learned from Hannah as a first point. Secondly, once you have dumped it there, then what does God do? I believe then it comes to God's response to our cry. The first thing is, God heard Hannah. Now, it doesn't say in those verses that we read earlier on about that part, about hearing. But I believe God does, because if you read the Bible, many, many different passages, you will hear that every time, whenever people cry to God, God hears. Give you an example of a few ones. In Genesis here, when Haggai and Ishmael were abandoned, all right, they were kind of like kicked out of the house, God heard the boy crying. God heard Ishmael. When the people of Israel were actually held captives and slaves in Egypt, and the people cried out to God, God heard their groaning. And King Hezekiah, when he was told that he was sick and he didn't have much time to live for, and he cried. He cried to God. And here you are told that God told someone to tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. And there are many more passages. If you go to the Psalms, you will hear David over and over again, I cry out to the Lord and the Lord heard me. Many passages, you will see that. So God hears our cries. You are praying to a God that is alive. He is not dead. He is not deaf. He is alive and He hears our cries. That's the first point. Secondly, He not only hears you, He remembers you. He remembers you because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. He remembers you. And for some of you, He has also given you promises. He remembers His promises. God never forgets. And God remembered Hannah. He remembered Hannah's prayer. And the third thing that God does is God answers. God answered her prayer. As we will see, it actually says God remembered her, and after that she conceived, all right? And she had a son called Samuel, and whom she named Samuel, right? God heard my cry too. Remember, I had my rain, and I was really crying to say, God, I don't even know whether I'll be able to go back to university. I don't even know whether the university will accept me because I have failed. I'm a failure. Interestingly, in my prayers, the spoken and unspoken prayers, God actually answered my prayers about my parents. My parents did not at all show their disappointment with me. They were not at all angry with me. They have been angry with me for other naughty things that I've done. But in this area of failure, they were not angry, or they didn't show it. Yeah. But instead, they were so supportive. They comforted me. They assured me. And I was not able at that point of time to go back to Australia to appeal my case. Because I already had bought my ticket, and my ticket was somewhere down the road after the nearer towards the semester starting, because I never thought I was going to fail, right? So I was unable to go back and actually appeal. But interestingly, God provided a lecturer to actually volunteer to appeal on my behalf. And this is a lecturer that I don't know. Huh? He was not one of my lecturers. All right. But he was a lecturer known to be very sympathetic and champions the causes of Asians. So it was like, wow, I never even asked him because I wouldn't have thought of asking him. But someone connected with him and told me that this person, this lecturer, was willing to do so. So I was like, wow, you know. And he did. He did actually appeal on my behalf. God bless him. And God did, because subsequently he married a Malaysian. Okay. Yeah. Now, I didn't know the results of the appeal until I actually went back. So can you just imagine that whole holiday of not knowing, did the appeal go through, did the appeal not go through? If not, what do I do? You know, what is plan B? You know, so the whole, I don't really think it was a real holiday. But by the time I went back by faith that God had heard my prayer. And I went to see the administrator. And she had a list of people who did not make it. And she actually told me there are quite a number of people who actually failed. And we don't have that many places, okay, because they would have the next batch of first years. And I was very worried that she was trying to prepare me for the worst news. But instead, she actually told me, well, you're one of those that managed to get through. Like, oh, phew. It was such a relief for me that, you know, I got it. But that's not the main thing. What was interesting was, remember she showed me this list, right? She then stepped out of her table and she went off to get something. So I kind of like peeped over to see the list. My name was not in the first few, okay? It wasn't. It was actually somewhere a few pages down. She had it folded like this, a few pages down. And it was somewhere in the middle towards the bottom part. And there were lots of people who were not crossed out. Not all were crossed out. So it's like, wow. I don't know what is the rationale of why I got picked. It's a long list. But I have amazing God. An amazing God that actually heard my cry. I didn't deserve it. I actually deserved the rain because I studied last minute. But yet, God was gracious enough to answer my cry. So that was really a praise point. So God hears our cry. He remembers us and all the potential that He has placed in us. He remembers all the promises. And He answered our prayers. He answered my prayer. He answered Hannah's prayer. And when Hannah finally conceived, she did what a lot of us do. When we pray for a child, all right, as kids, as married women or parents, when we pray for a child and God answers us, what do we do? We do what Hannah did. She named him Samuel because I asked the Lord for him. God answered my prayer, so I must give God back the glory, especially for some of us who find it hard to conceive. Because those of us who find it easy, pray, plop, come out. Wow, easy. But some of us have a difficult time. We pray like mad. We try different things. Then we come forward to the altar call there and ask the pastors to pray. And sometimes it works. And then, wow, we have a child. We praise God. And we start naming our kids different names that actually give God glory. I did that too. When I had my first son, I said, I must name him a name that gives God glory. God's gift. God's gift actually has four names. Ian. Ian is God's gift. All right? It's God's gift in Scottish. So I thought that was good. Okay? Then I had the second child. God's gift again. What should I name? Oh, I shall name Sean. God's gift. Okay? And that's in Irish. Okay. Then, after that, next one came out. There's still two more that I know of. It's either John or Johan, which is also God's gift. I thought, John. John, very common name. Sorry, Johns. Okay. Don John. Okay. Johan. Sounds like a supermarket we used to have back here. Okay. So in the end, okay, don't God's gift anymore. Ashton. Okay. And I think we all do that, all right? We We recognize that God has given the gift of a child, and we name something special to recognize God. And then after that, what do? We start focusing on, what baby powder do we drink? What time do the child sleep? What kind of food can they eat or getting or not? What kind of clothes do we wear, we buy for them? What kind of school do they go to? Who's the tuition teacher who is best to teach you this, to teach you that? You know, and we start thinking about all those things, and it's like, oh, my kid must sleep at 8 o'clock. Sorry, CG leader, I cannot come for CG, because my kids sleep at 8 o'clock. When the kids grow older, then I bring them back to CG, okay? Church. Maybe I watch from live stream, because it's too noisy. You know, my kids' ears cannot take it, And suddenly, over time, it's like, hey, hello? Besides naming our children fantastic names, what happened? And I'm not talking about just mothers and those and mothers who have got children. I'm talking about every prayer that we have. God, please give me that job, that dream job that I wanted. God, please, this particular bid, please give me, let me win it. Let the client, the potential client choose me. God, give me this promotion. God, give me a boyfriend or a girlfriend. God, let me get married. God, give me this. God, give me this. But every time we say, God. And after that, but. After that, but. Often, we actually focus on the gift. And then we forget the giver. Yeah? And what we do? We keep him waiting. When he answers our prayers, we just go, God waits again. Because a lot of times when we actually cry out to God, and I'm guilty, God, if you give me this, I will. God, if you give me this, I will. God, if you give me that job, I will. But once God gives it to us, we keep him waiting again. I know I'm guilty. But with Hannah, I've mentioned this just now about the fact that we keep him waiting. We forgot to focus on the giver, but we focus on the gift, and we continue to keep him waiting. But not Hannah. When God answered her prayer, Hannah remembered the promise that she made to him. She remembered that she told God that if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And I will let him serve you for the rest of his life. So after Samuel was weaned off, this is what Hannah said. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah remembered her promise to God, and she kept it. Unfortunately, there are not many people like Hannah. I know sometimes I'm not like Hannah. And if you read the Bible, you will find many passages too where the people of God cries out to God for different things and says, I will. And we forget. We start taking over. Why is it so difficult for us to remember our promise to God? Why is it so difficult for us to trust God? I think it's because very often we think that we know best and we know it better than anyone else. Can you imagine what would happen if we keep our promises to God and we let him take charge rather than us? If we were to try, And remember, actually, we couldn't even help ourselves in the rain. Okay? And that it was the God who heard our cries, that answered our prayer. That same God who could solve that problem that you tried so hard to run around to solve and try to get other people to help you, solved it for you. If you can learn to trust that God and let Him handle the rest and for you to keep your promise, can you imagine if we do that? What would happen? I like this picture that someone gave me, because it reminds me about learning to let go to God. If you look at that picture, this is a picture of Jesus with a little kid. And Jesus' hand is actually reached out and say, "Give me." If you look at that little kid, the kid is actually holding on very tightly to a tiny little teddy bear. Whereas behind Jesus, there is a huge teddy bear. Jesus is saying, "Come, give me your teddy bear. Give me your teddy bear, because I've got something bigger one. I've got a bigger one for you. I can't give you the big one unless you give me the small one." See, God knows best, but can we really trust Him rather than ourselves? That little girl there is having a struggle because she's so close to her teddy bear. That teddy bear is so dear to her. And in our lives, for mothers today, that teddy bear represents our children. Our children are very dear to every one of us, even fathers. But do you know, mothers and fathers, your teddy bears, your little teddy bears, are even far more precious to God than you ever know. If you think you love your little children so much, let me tell you, God loves them so much more than you ever can. And the plans that you have for your children are all worthy, honorable plans. I know every mother, every father wants the best for their children. Who don't? But so does our Heavenly Father. And He knows it even far more than we ever will. So the question here is, are we willing to surrender our children to God? And I'm talking more than children. Every one of you here have got a teddy bear that you hold very closely to. And in some cases, those teddy bears are things that you have promised God. Are we willing to let go, just as Hannah did? Because when Hannah let go, let me tell you, what was God's teddy bear to her? God's teddy bears to Hannah was that she had 3 sons and 2 daughters. That means she had 6 children altogether. And I can bet you she had more children than Penina. Right. And Samuel, the child that she surrendered to God. You know, Hannah would never have imagined how God was going to use Samuel. Just like none of us can imagine how God is going to use our children, all the little teddy bears that we give back to Him. But for Samuel, Samuel became one of the most well-known prophets in the Old Testament. And he was given the privilege to anoint the first king of Israel and to anoint King David. Can you beat that? God's teddy bear is much, much greater than what we have. My teddy bear, my little teddy bear, in the story that I was sharing with you, is actually my pride. Because I've always done it. I have always passed. And when the failure happened, it really hit me. But you know, if I had not failed and had to repeat that extra year, I would not have learned the precious lesson about failure. Because one does not fail, actually, I was not a failure. God taught me that. Because one does not fail unless you stop trying. But if you continue to try, you're not a failure. And that was a precious lesson. Another lesson I learned was I understood what it means to fail. Because I went through it. If I had never failed, I would not be in the position to be able to empathize with people who have gone through it. I would not know how to stand alongside with them. And I would not know what to say. And that was a very precious lesson that I learned. But most importantly, remember my husband just now shared that this few days ago, we actually celebrated our 30th anniversary. If I had not stayed that extra year in Australia, I would not have married my husband. Why? Not that I didn't know him. I did know him, yeah. But I wasn't looking at him, huh? But it was in the it was in that last year that God actually deepened our friendship. And there were things that we went through as friends that made it very precious. To the point that I realized how important this man was going to be in my life. And I believe vice versa. Yeah. And that was the year, I think my husband has mentioned before, that we actually answered an altar call, a call of obedience. So many things actually happened in that last year that I was there. And at my anniversary, this recent anniversary, my kids actually texted us, all right, to wish us. But one of the things that was quite interesting was all of them actually said, "Mom and Dad, thank you for marrying one another. If you didn't marry each other, we wouldn't have existed." I laughed at that time, but it's true. It's true. If not for that one extra year, I wouldn't have met him. I wouldn't have had my three lovely kids. So can you imagine? What is pride? What is that teddy bear, pride? How precious is pride when I compare to that teddy bear, right? And I compare to the three teddy bears that God has given in my life. Hey guys, what is that teddy bear in our hands? What is that teddy bear compared to what our Father has for all of us? So in conclusion, in times of anguish, cry to God first, not last. Okay. Because He wants to help. He's waiting. Secondly, when we cry, He hears us. He remembers you. And He answers. He always answers. And when He does, please, don't keep Him waiting again. Keep your promise. Trust Him. Surrender your teddy bear. Because, what is that teddy bear, like I said? God can be trusted to do far more than you can imagine. So surrender that teddy bear. What are you waiting for? Shall we pray? Father, we have had a big celebration just recently. We thank you for Malaysia. We thank you for giving us a brand new dawn. But Father, Lord, you not only hear the cheers, Lord, of the nation, but Father, in the midst of all that, you still hear the cries of different individuals that despite what the new turning point in our nation, there are those of us at this moment who are still crying in the rain. Thank you, Father, Lord, for being a God who not just see the big picture, but you see each and every one of our individual's heart. So today, Lord, whoever is crying, we know that, Father, Lord, you're waiting, Lord, to just address our tears, to wipe away our tears, and to address our tears. So, Lord, I just pray that even this morning, on Mother's Day, Father, Lord, I pray that your people here, your children here, big and small, that whatever is in their heart, that they will know that today they can come to you, Father Lord. They can come to you because you're a God who hears, you remember, and you will answer. So Lord, I just want to commit your people to you, your children to you, and ask Holy Spirit for you to work, for you to minister, for you to touch the hearts of our people here. In Christ's most precious name, amen.